Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ooh-wee.
It is the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. That is the three-time Hall of Famer, Chris Arnold.
Got you down.
My name is Alec Medford of the KNC Masterpiece. His name is James Tritely on the ones and twos. And of course you, the Turn It On, Leave It On listener. We appreciate you being and doing just that, as it now looks like it's midnight outside.
That's where I was going with this. It's high noon and it looks like it's midnight in Dallas-Fort Worth. I mean, it is dark,
it's
clouds.
So
it's one thing to be cloudy and rainy. It is dark. It's almost like an eclipse.
Now, it's supposed to go away here in the next couple hours.
Like, please, because we're out of here in the next couple hours.
I know. I don't want that terrible drive back to Arlington.
And like you said, Alec, it's like Gotham. It's like Batman movie out there.
And the crazy thing is, like, out towards, more towards Arlington, I can see even darker clouds.
Dun, dun, dun. It looks ominous out there.
It looks so weird and so creepy.
Well, see, that's why we got to be glad the Tolos are hanging out with us, because we got you.
Thank you
for letting us ride shotgun with you on Boxing Day. Happy Boxing Day, Alex.
Oh, yeah.
And James.
Everybody's getting Boxing Day drunk today. We already know it. That's why you're up at home. You're not working today.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, that's a British holiday. The day after Christmas, they throw away the boxes.
Yeah.
Or take it back to the store.
I do that every Tuesday for recycling. What are we doing, man? I should be able to celebrate every Tuesday.
I thought you did.
I don't like this. Yeah,
TD Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. He celebrates.
Oh yeah, TD Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why Chiafalo popped his head in here earlier.
Exactly.
But the question I pose to everybody here, that was a crazy lightning strike. I'm like a golden retriever. I apologize. What are you hoping to see in the last 2 weeks of Dallas Cowboys football? Because there's really nothing left to be desired, right? Like, you're out of the playoffs. You've got two division games in which, you know, Philly isn't too worried about you at this point because they've been so successful this season. The Commanders are fighting, trying to keep themselves in a playoff position, and they looked really, really good in doing so while turning the ball over five times against the Philadelphia Eagles and still getting a win this past week. And I want to know, what are you even looking for at this point?
As a fan,
like, is there something, like, are you sitting down and listening to these games, hoping to hear something, hoping to see something happen? Is there a position group that you want to see the depth, that you want to see improvement in? Is there a player that you want to see continue to play good or continue to progress? Like, maybe you've changed your mind about Mozzie Smith. And you want to talk about him and say, I want to see him continue to improve because he's only gotten better this season. For me, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about with Mickey just a second ago, is the offensive line. It's been so beat up. I think last I checked, you had the fourth most offensive line combinations in the NFL this season.
Yeah. Oh, so, a steady rotation.
And it's because guys are getting hurt in game. It's because guys are having to miss extended amounts of time. Example, Zach Martin. Chuma Adoga didn't even play at the beginning of the season because he broke his toe in training camp. Like, there's been a lot of mixing and matching.
You even lost your starting tight end for a concussion for a while.
Exactly.
Jake Ferguson, and he's on that offensive line.
Yeah, and that's a scaled down offensive lineman right there. Who he's a decent inline blocker. So for me, I want to see.
Hear that thunder?
There's a lot going on to put both ears in so I can stay focused. There's a player that I mentioned last segment that I think needs to be on this team next year.
I agree.
But I think that the league is catching on to, one, his mean streak that all 32 teams wish they had in every single offensive lineman, but two, how well he has played in light of some of these injuries, and that's Brock Hoffman.
Yes. If he was a hockey player, they'd call him a goon or an enforcer. You got to have at least one on your offensive line.
You do. And the whole situation with him has been interesting to watch because he was drafted by Cleveland in 2022. He didn't even make the team. They cut him and they signed him to the practice squad after he was drafted. And he gets signed later on in the year after he gets waived to the Cowboys practice squad in 2022. Mm-hmm. And he signed a reserve slash future contract with them to stay on the team throughout the offseason. In January of 2023, he gets waived in August of 23 and then signed back to the practice squad. And about a month later, in September of 2023, he signs a two-year deal with the Cowboys. So Spotrac has him as a restricted free agent next year. I believe that is the case. I know Mickey said 2026, but
we're going to have to get to the bottom of this because he's too important.
Maybe Broadus will know better. We can ask him.
Well, somebody do some research on this. Will McClay, give us a call because we want to know if this guy, he's too important to just let him walk.
He's 25 years old. I've looked at different outlets that track all the cap stuff and contract, whatever. And it looks like he is a restricted free agent next year.
Let me tell you why this is important as well. We mentioned all the stuff that he does. Somebody's got to follow Zach Martin. If Zach Martin says, you know what? I can't come back. Or if he comes back, he's in his last year or two, and you know he's got to be rotated in and out because he's hurt. Like Tyron was hurt the last 3 or 4 years. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not going to be Zach Martin. He's plugged in. He's going to Hall of Fame, and he's doing every down. You need Brock Hoffman.
He's played so good for you. And, like, not just the on-the-field play, too. And you heard it throughout training camp. He did an interview. I want to say it was with G-Bag, but it was – it was in the afternoon, it had to be G-Bag, with Brock Hoffman sat down with them, and you could just tell, like, he is a great dude to be around.
He is. I just talked to him a couple of weeks ago for the player profile. He is the nicest guy, or at least he's sensible. He just flips the switch when he steps on the field. It's kind of like Domagoj Sue. Yeah. Domagoj Sue never did anything bad off the field. He just, are we still on the air?
Yeah.
Okay, all this crazy weather. Because I can't even see a hand outside that window.
Oh, yeah, you literally can't see anything now.
Okay, so we're in the middle of these clouds. But go ahead. So he's a great guy. Great team guy.
And you've heard, even whenever we kind of thought coming out of training camp he was going to be your center. It sounded like
he told me he played center most of his life from grade school on. And he said that his mom told him, you can't be SOFT. You're going to play. And his dad was a coach, too.
It did seem like he was going to win that starting center job week one because Cooper Beebe, everyone was like, yeah, he's fine. Yeah, he's a rookie. You know, that's kind of the vibe we got. Like, he's progressing. He's learning. That's his job. And then Hoffman, it seemed like, well, he's got the rapport with Dak Prescott, which is really important between center and quarterback, and he's looked really good in doing so. So it felt like that. And then it was like, oh, Beebe's starting. Okay. He handled that like a pro.
Yeah.
And he steps in anytime his name is called, and he plays very, very well when his name is called.
On the speaking of names being called, isn't it ironic that the center's name is Cooper and the quarterback's name is Cooper?
Yeah, Cooper to Cooper.
And what if Amari Cooper had stayed? Well, I just never mind.
Cooper, so the ball would have went from Cooper to Cooper to Cooper.
Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3.
And then they're playing the Eagles and Cooper DeJean tackles him.
Correct.
Yeah. Cooper to Cooper to That's Cooper to man. Cooper. Mm-hmm. I don't like what I just did there. That was a lot of words.
But you're saying what people are going to be looking for?
Yes, and we already got some responses on the Franco and Franco Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. From the 972, nothing. I just want the season over. Let's go Rangers. I think you mean go get Rangers.
Yeah, get it right.
From the 214, this is Mike Bassick texting in. I want to see Mingo get 10 targets and see what he does with them. Which, to be fair, I wouldn't hate it. Like, you just say opening drive, we're putting Mingo in. We're going to try to get him the ball twice in that opening drive. See what happens vertically downfield. Because at this point, I'm going to say this quietly, I want to start throwing those deep balls to Mingo more than I want to Jalen Tolbert. So,
yeah, Tolbert's had a lot of chances to show what he can and cannot do. And so far, no, he has never replaced Amari Cooper. That's what they said when they let Amari Cooper go, basically, for a fifth-round pick. It's a shame. But let me say this.
He has the talent.
This leads into, yeah, it does. But this leads into what I've been saying since the Cowboys surprised Washington. And people were like, let's just skip the season and let's go straight to the draft. Because people love the draft. Don't get me wrong. And there are people saying, tank. And I've said this a million times. Tanking is a strategy. It's complicated, but it is a strategy. That being said, you can't just count on that. The thing I've talked about ad nauseum this season is this team is built wrong. The assignment for the coaching staff and the veteran core is to get out of the freaking first round. And what do they do in the offseason? Absolutely nothing except draft. So what are you watching? On-the-job training. So people who want to watch the rest of the season, on-the-job training. Well, guess what? You do need to see some on-the-job training. I'm not saying in lieu of victories because it's a balancing act. You got to keep the locker room, keep the culture of winning. And that's what makes it hard to be a coach. But at the same time, I want to watch who's making business decisions, who's trying. I want to see who the competitors are. Because let me tell you what you're not going to do. You're not going to cut everybody on the roster and say, guess what? I'm looking at the combine and just nothing but draft picks. You're not going to do that. So with that being said, you want to find out, oh, I got to keep Brock Hoffman. Oh, guess what? I also look at Schoonmaker looks good when he's healthy. I can go down the list. Oh, guess what? They finally decided to make Rico Dotto a feature back, not a back by committee. Maybe we figure out a way to make him a tandem, not a starter, but a tandem with somebody that can bring some skill set as well. I mean, you just never know. All I'm saying is you've got to look at what you have. And I'm not even talking about starters. And guess what happened? What happened to frustrated people who just want to look at the draft and combine, and because that's an exercise in itself that a lot of people get excited for. But guess what messed them up? Guess what? These players never quit on the coaching staff, including Zimmer. And all of a sudden, this defense is better than you thought it would be. And now there are people saying maybe you want to keep the coaching staff. Well, guess what? You may or may not keep them. All I got to say is you've got to let the process work out because you're not starting from scratch. This isn't Carolina. This is the Dallas Cowboys. And the assignment still hasn't changed. When Mike McCarthy was hired, they could have kept Jason Garrett. Jerry loved Jason, but he could never finish the assignment, which was get out of the freaking first round. Mike McCarthy has only done it one time. That's it. His record is 1-3 in the playoffs. To me, that's not good enough. But guess what? You don't have any other options. With that being said, the last two games, Micah Parsons said this after the game in the locker room. I was in there. And we got the audio, but can't play right now. He says, guess what? Some of the stuff we're going through, it carries over to the next season. People don't want to believe that, but guess what? You learn what not to do. You learn who can't handle a situation when it's overwhelming. In other words, he can shoot the ball, basketball, in the first quarter, but don't give it to him in the fourth. He can't handle the pressure. You find out about people when they go through adversity. Because everybody can be great when everything's perfect. When the field is dry, when you got those conditions indoor, Everything's perfect. But what if you got to go to Buffalo? What if you got to go to Philadelphia? I want to know who I got. That's what I'm looking at the next two games.
I think the only other thing that really holds any substance for me going forward into the last two games of the Cowboys season is just seeing this defense continue to hopefully improve. Because I've already said it on record that I've kind of given my signature of approval to have Mike Zimmer as your defensive coordinator next year. The way that...
If the new coach will take him.
Exactly. Well,
we know it's McCarthy. But go ahead.
I think Jerry, even if there is a new head coach, would say Mike Zimmer is your defensive coordinator. Uh-huh. You know, you can find everybody else. Mike Zimmer is your DC. But I think that's the only other thing because it has progressively gotten better since the bye week. And you're starting to see something that I feel like doesn't get talked about enough is the buy-in from those key playmakers, because there's nothing to indicate that Micah Parsons is like uncoachable or anything that's blasphemous. But when you have a superstar player that you know is really good at something, they fall into a habit of doing said thing. Mike Zimmer has asked him to do other things and he has willingly done it.
And he's gotten successful.
And he's done it at a high level.
Yes.
And you know what that does in turn? It creates buy-in of other players, but not just that. On the field, moving him around creates other opportunities for other people, like a Marshawn Nealand, like a Maris Taliaferro, like Oso Digizua, who is having a career year and might even price himself out. So
here's again, they got to see who they're going to keep as opposed to letting that depth walk away with Dan Quinn last year. And for those, I hate to be harping on this because, you know, a lot of people can't handle the heartbreak of a Cowboys losing season when they want to see him go to the playoffs. Other people just love the math and I don't care, I'm into team building. They wanted to get rid of all this entire team back in October when they totally sucked. Well, guess what you found out afterward as the season kept playing out? Zimmer's great. In September, he sucked, didn't he? They didn't understand his system. They didn't. The players that they got off of other teams' waiver wires at the end of August, they just learned his system too. You didn't know about some of these other guys until starters and Pro Bowlers got hurt. You've got to let it play out. It may be painful to watch, or you may just want to, I don't care, I just want to get to the good part, which is, I want to look at the draft. Because drafting is a sport too, but you got to know who you're going to keep. Because everybody, it's not a clean slate every year. This is not Carolina or Jacksonville now.
That was a fun experiment. Coming up next here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan, it is time for the Expressway. We go commercial free up until the top of the hour. I have a college football trend that might end up being a disaster. Alternate broadcasts, yay or nay, plus CA Stories Confidential. All of that and more coming up next. A college football trend that might end up being a disaster. We're going to get to that here in just a moment. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to get involved in any and all of our conversations here today. We are live on Twitch and YouTube as well. Feel free to party there and get involved as well. But welcome on into the Expressway. We go commercial free up until the top of the hour. We will wrap things up with CA Stories Confidential. But right now, this is based on a conversation that I had with our own Carter Freeman last week. It was when we got
the
report.
He's our college football guru.
He is. He knows way too much.
He writes a lot, too.
I'm going to use my favorite sports cliche about him. He has forgotten more college football than I will ever know, and he's only like 7 years older than me. So I was talking to him. It was when we got the report that Michael Vick was a serious contender for the Norfolk State football head coaching job, and then inevitably on Monday, this past Monday, he gets introduced as the program's 19th football coach. So Michael Vick is obviously a very polarizing character for more reasons than one, but talking about his on the field and his football career, obviously the until Lamar Jackson entered, the greatest rushing quarterback that we had ever seen. His record just got broken. Career rushing record by a quarterback just got broken by Lamar yesterday. But he was an enigma. He was different. Teams had to redesign the way they play football to account for people like him, and now you're seeing that reincarnated. The thing is, he has very little coaching experience under his name. He coached in the American Alliance of Football. Yeah, the one that folded within a year of even existing. He did some like front office work, just kind of like as a special assistant in the past before he got his broadcasting job. And ever since then, he's been broadcasting. He hasn't done any like high school football coaching, any college coaching, any of that. So whenever this came across, the first thing Carter said was, I hope Deion Sanders didn't ruin the idea of finding the next great head coach for especially smaller programs, just getting an all-time great NFL player and saying, you're a head coach of a football program, not just a football program, a collegiate football program where now there's money involved and two, recruiting, you know, and especially for a guy that's never coached. And the reason that caught my attention and got me really thinking so much is because a lot of people don't realize that Deion, one, was not an overnight success.
No, not at coaching.
And two, he was a coach before. Like, he was a high school coach here in Texas.
Sure was.
He has been around football programs before. He understands how roster building works. And I know that people love to hate on him just because he was flashy and they he didn't act the way that people wanted him to in the 90s. That's fine.
There are people, but, because he's Coach Prime, they don't like that whole persona.
Exactly.
But he knows how to coach.
But that's the thing that gets buried. He is a leader of men. He is a great coach. And it's taking some time, especially because now NIL is just now being introduced. He's figuring out how to recruit.
Yeah, and by the way, he's real. To refresh everybody's memory about how he's always wanted to coach kids, etc. When he was told he had made it to the Hall of Fame, he was with kids when they had to find him to get him to the phone. And then when he had his ceremony, the whole couple of rows in his section was nothing but the kids he was coaching.
So there's a lot more to Deion Sanders, Coach Prime,
than just his name and being a flashy former athlete who wants to coach.
And his first time being a head coach of anything, Michael Vick, is a collegiate program. And this is a big change that he says he's thought about and everything. He consulted with the family, but a lot of people don't realize these coaches are never home. They are in the office 24/7, game planning, recruiting, watching high school tape from kids that they want to try to bring into the program, getting ready for a game that Saturday. There is a lot more to it.
In fact, to piggyback off of that, there's more to it. Sometimes former players find that out. The great Drew Pearson, who is in the Hall of Fame, one of the greatest Cowboys of all time, the original 88. When he retired prematurely, he said, I'll just be an assistant coach with the Cowboys. And he did that for like a year, and then he quit. And I said, Drew, why'd you quit? He was an assistant wide receivers coach. He said, man, it never ends. We're here past midnight all the time. He said, I appreciate Coach Landry giving me the opportunity, but no, 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 no. And that's what some of them find out. And believe it or not, there are some successful former players who wind up being assistant coaches, but you're talking about the head coach of a college.
You are the guy. You are the voice. You are the representation. Mm-hmm. You are the final say.
Yeah, in other words, sometimes even the guys who wind up being assistant coaches and work their way up to be the head coach, they're looking at the guy, even though he played and was successful as a player, they're like, wait a minute, he skipped some steps. I've been in these trenches being an assistant coach, you know, 10 years. I'm looking for my shot. And because of their name, they'll get an opportunity ahead of some guys who actually worked hard, even if they were a successful professional football player.
And Vic did acknowledge in his introductory presser how hard this really is going to be, the transition from just talking about it to actually doing it, and managing the transfer portal and whatnot. He said, quote, I've done more work in the last 2 weeks than I've done in the last 5 years. It's really cool to dive into what it takes to be a head coach. This is something I was planning on doing years from now, but it came a couple years sooner than I expected. So he always wanted to do this, but he even admitted he kind of wasn't ready for it. He wasn't expecting it yet.
In fact, these same questions that he's answering at that press conference, some people had those questions about Belichick, even though he was a professional, like arguably the greatest NFL coach in history. Yeah. Arguably. And he's got more Super Bowl championship rings and trophies. But that being said, it's like he doesn't know the college game. So imagine a former player. He doesn't know the college game. And a school thinking, oh, look at Deion, Coach Prime, that's successful. He's the lightning rod for the recruiting. Well, you got to have a staff to go with it. I'll give you two quick examples. Ed Reed wanted to be a head coach, HBCU. He got to be the head coach, and Ed got mad because guess what? They weren't keeping it. He had his own standards that were really, really good. So it wasn't like he wanted the players to play like he did. It was about how they got clothes all over the locker room floors. Wait a minute. What's going on here? You got to have the. In other words, he was meticulous and he knew they couldn't do it the way he would want it done. And then on the other end, Doug Williams. People forget Doug Williams, a great coach for the Washington football team, won Super Bowl and all that. He went to Grambling, right? He became the head coach at Grambling and was successful. The reason he became the head coach there, and they asked him to, when he did not have any assistant coaches experience or any, because who can follow the legendary Eddie Robinson? We got to have a name to get kids to come to Grambling. Well, he was the greatest quarterback in Grambling history. He won a Super Bowl ring with Washington. He's in the Hall of Fame, the whole nine yards. That's one of the reasons why he was named the head coach. he was able to be the lightning rod, and he also knew some plays and all that. Like, he didn't have to carry the system was in place. The assistant coaches weren't going nowhere. They just needed him to come back, and he did. So with Michael Vick, I think it could be some circumstance we don't know. But at the same time, if there's any school out there just thinking, oh, we just need to get a big name like Coach Prime and we'll get all the recruits. No, it's more complicated than that.
And he did address some of that with NIL, the transfer portal and everything. He said, quote, some will come here, improve, have some eligibility, and maybe go on and play at a bigger school. But it all starts right here. There's going to be a lot of young men who will appreciate the opportunity to come and play here at Norfolk State. It's an opportunity to create your own legacy. Some of these guys might not be here for 4 years, maybe 1-2 years, because opportunities will happen if you play good football. That's what I expect. But in the process of doing that, that's just getting wins for us. So he knows.
He's realistic.
That it's a small school.
Yeah.
You know, these kids probably want to go play in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he says.
Could. Or maybe when Deion was at Jackson State, you could steal a Florida State recruit and take him to Jackson State and then take him on with you to Colorado. And he could wind up winning the Heisman Trophy and being a first-round pick.
And I think a lot of this is going to depend on the staff.
Of course.
That he puts around him, too, because if they give him a big enough budget to build a staff of really experienced people, then he's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Because then it will just be the Mike Vick effect. But if he's got a bunch of vanilla coaches around him, too, and he's...
Are you saying vanilla as in generic?
As in generic, yes. And don't get that twisted. just as in generic, they have a little bit of experience, or maybe none at all. But if he brings in a whole new staff too of just people that are young and haven't done this before, it's going to be a massive failure. But I'm sure they're going to put some experienced people around him, and they'll help him navigate the issues of, like, even things that you still see in the NFL that really shouldn't be issues nowadays with, you know, all the technology we have and stuff like clock management, like stuff like that. I bet they're going to put people around him that will help him with that stuff.
They don't want it to fail. If he's putting his name out there, he's not going into it without some of those things in place. But he knows he's got everything to lose.
The interesting thing is he did reach out to Deion.
Of course.
Because he said Deion has been a mentor for him as he's been thinking about doing this.
They both played for the Falcons.
And he said that was the first person he reached out to whenever he found out there was mutual interest here. And he said, we talked about it last year, and Deion was like, quote, I don't know what you're waiting for. You might as well go ahead and get into it.
Yeah.
And there's going to be comparisons between those two pretty much immediately. Two high-profile, iconic NFL players getting their first head coaching opportunities at HBCUs. Mm-hmm. Like, the parallels are absolutely there. But Vic and
Sanders... And they're going to wonder if Michael Vick's going to leave. You know, they'll be doing that too, like Deion left.
They're two different people with two different styles, so they're gonna deviate from each other pretty quickly. And I think this was pretty telling to wrap up his presser. He said, quote, a lot of people are going to ask, are you going to be the next Deion Sanders? I said, there's only one Deion Sanders, his soul, his spirit, the way God created him. He created an amazing man, and Deion is Deion, but I'm Michael Vick. And he ended it there. So if he can establish quickly, which he will, because he said it right there, he's not Deion Sanders. He's not the big flashy guy. If he just establishes his own culture from day one and says, this is how we're going to run a football program, he should be fine. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about the persona. I know that he had issues in the past that are way behind us now, that
he's grown as a human.
Paid
his price.
Exactly.
Like he just got away with something. No, he went to prison.
Exactly.
So let it go.
I think that's all behind and everything. And I think that's going to be great for coaching to say, hey, you know, like, I did stupid stuff in the past.
And I got
through adversity.
Yes, exactly. You know? So something to be said for that.
He'll have good testimonials to give, even though the perfect person doesn't want to have to detail their experiences from prison and, you know, breaking the law and stuff, but he'll be able to tell these 20, 21, 22-year-old kids, 18-year-old kids coming in as freshmen, like, hey, you know, I've lived that life before, hanging around the wrong people. Get away from that. You know, there's a lot there that I think the man is fit for the job. Is the coach fit for the job? That is yet to be seen, and all I can say to that is get the right staff around you. And I see what the 254
says. He gonna put some dog in them players. Yes and no.
Oh, man.
He does want some dogs, but all the jokes. Not literally dogs.
Yes.
He's going to hear the jokes. They're going to come. Come on now.
I mean, from the 3-2-1, do you think he's going to make his way to the SEC so he can play the Bulldogs?
Georgia?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one. But before we get into CA Stories Confidential, good conversation there. I was just intrigued at the idea
Keep it in mind.
You know, all kinds of, especially like that, like Norfolk State, a lot of smaller programs saying, we have the chance to get a guy who has never coached in his life, but he is one of the best football players we've ever seen. You know, so maybe because of that, we can afford.
Did you know the University of Tennessee wanted Peyton Manning to be their coach?
Yeah.
When he retired?
Yeah.
Sure did.
So I think there are some people who are just built for it that are just like
Dan Campbell.
Exactly. He was never a star player.
Mm.
He wasn't even like an assistant head coach or anything. He was an interim head coach at one point. But this dude coached tight ends.
Yeah.
Like that. He was a position coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's almost unheard of to say position coach all the way to head coach. And look, like we were just saying, like you pointed out, he was made for this. So maybe Michael Vick was made for this. And 10 years from now, he's coaching an SEC school and he's dominating. I don't know. Maybe he falls on his face. But it's all about buying into the vision and putting the right people around him.
Yep.
One more thing I want to get to. Just because I was telling you about this because you were busy doing your thing at the AAC yesterday. And I was channel flipping during all the NBA games. And I saw something I was not ready for. There was an alternate NBA broadcast. That was a Mickey Mouse broadcast.
I heard about this, but of course I was American Airlines since I didn't see it, but it's kind of like the Simpsons when they did the Thanksgiving thing with the Simpsons.
Yeah, just like the Funday Night Football.
Oh, Funday Night, that's right.
Yeah, for the Simpsons.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was the Spurs at Knicks game, which we're going to talk about that game at 1:20. That was a classic on Christmas Day, but they had an alternate broadcast called Dunk the Halls, and it was a Mickey Mouse themed broadcast where
that sounds goofy.
All of the players were animated and they would convert some of the players into Mickey Mouse characters.
Mm-hmm.
So for any of the parents out there or maybe siblings where you have a younger brother or a younger sister that's of that age, do you see this working? Have you tried this? And do you even care? And I even want to know from an adult's perspective, does this seem smart to you? Because they're trying it in so many different ways now, these animated broadcasts to try to, you know, cater to a younger audience that they see a character that they like and they're like, huh, I'm going to watch it because it's Mickey Mouse.
They want to suck them in because they looked at what happened in baseball and baseball started losing their younger demographic because guess what? Everybody can't afford to bring their kids to baseball games and baseball on television if you're not working. In other words, they say, we need to get some younger demographics. We need Gen Z. We need the kids younger than Gen Z.
And what you're seeing now is NBA, it's a very poorly kept secret that they're struggling right now with ratings, with attendance, with everything. It's not drastic, but ratings are down. Interest overall in the league is down. So how do you manufacture new fans? You go to the source, which is You teach them young. You hear it all the time. You know, you start them off young. So if you can sit down, you know, a six-year-old kid in front of a TV and say, look, that's your favorite character. And in turn, they're starting to learn the game of basketball. I understand the method, but I have no idea. And this is still a new thing. The alternate broadcast is a new thing.
It's like the
generally.
Manning cast. It's all different kind of ways. I think the Manning cast is for adults. I think those.
And I think it's wonderful. Yeah, I think that one works.
Right. And as far as the Mickey Mouse and let's go to the Simpsons and all those, I think they're doing that. And it doesn't mean that you have to sit there with your kid. You might start off, but it's kind of like Thanksgiving. You have the card table for the kids to eat the food off of.
Sure.
They can go in their room and get indoctrinated at a young age into that particular sport. And then they might say, you know what? I like this. And I'm going to sit in the room with the older kids or the older adults.
Yeah.
Y'all not cussing so much.
Yeah, can't pick up
it's
on that
It's kind of like
stuff.
When I was growing up, I got into sports. Guess how? Going to the barbershop with my daddy on Saturdays. And they had the TV on and everybody was arguing and fussing and laughing and cutting up all about sports. That's when I got into it. Not just playing.
I will say, though, like seeing Mickey Mouse break away in transition and just hit a pull-up three like a Bleep U3 is just the most amazing thing ever, because it, I never thought I would see that in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the I will give them credit for going all in on it, too, because,
oh, yeah.
I mean, like, even the commentators are addressing them by the character name, not by the player.
Right.
Like, you know, it's just in Mickey Mouse for three.
Hearing Goofy with the dunk.
Yeah.
Like, that was the weirdest, like, way to listen to that.
Yeah. Isn't it just... It feels like you're tripping off of acid or something as an adult, but I don't know. Maybe to the kids, it's absolutely working.
And they have Dora do it. She did it. She did it.
I would hate that.
Dora the Explorer and the monkey.
From the 817, I've put it on for the kids before. It didn't really interest them anymore. I switched it to watching NBA yesterday when the kids weren't around and watched it for a minute. Yeah, and I watched it for a minute just because I was channel flipping and I saw ESPN2 and it didn't say on my channel guide, it didn't say alternate broadcast or whatever. Mm-hmm. It just said Spurs at Knicks. So I clicked on it and I see Mickey Mouse. I'm like, what in the hell? And I watched it for maybe 5 minutes and I was like, my adult brain can't handle this because I don't know what's happening inside the actual game of basketball. So as an adult, obviously that's not who they're catering to.
Nope.
They don't give a damn what I think about it. They don't care that I'm sitting here saying that I thought it was bad.
You're not the future.
But for the kids, it might be really entertaining. So, you know, when James and I actually, you know, do something right in the dating pool and we get to that point where we're raising kids and trying to teach them to be sports fans, maybe this is a lot bigger of a thing and a lot more common, and maybe they've kind of refined it and they kind of have some things and tools like buzzwords and stuff that are really going to hook in the younger demographic. But for right now, I think it's a smart idea that needs work. I think it needs work.
At least they're trying. Think about it. They don't want to be passe. They don't want to assume that all families can go to games. It's not affordable, but guess what? Maybe the kids who are gamers can consume it in this level. It's all about how people consume their information.
And you know what does not need any work? It is another Hall of Fame edition of CA Stories Confidential.
Well, since I was mentioning I was at the basketball game last night, someone brought this up to me and I had to tell the story. And since the NBA season has begun, I'll tell you a story that I actually did address back in June. Minding my own business, my phone started blowing up. By the way, thank you, Alec. Thank you, James. Thank you, Alec Tolos, for allowing me to share some of these stories over covering all these sports and entertaining things all these years. And you can turn the volume up. And back in June, my phone blew up because All the Smoke, a podcast featuring Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes, former NBA players, it is like big time. It's like we're talking about people consuming information, right? A lot of people prefer podcasts than anything else because players are keeping it real and whole nine yards. They had on former NBA superstar Sean Kemp. And my phone blew up because in this interview with Sean Kemp, and he's talking, and by the way, Sean Kemp is arguably the greatest in-game dunker of all time. One of the greatest dunkers, period. He's a great player. Went to the finals a couple of times with the Seattle Sonics and him and Gary Payton. Well, in this broadcast, I'm just go ahead and let Matt Barnes start off because he asked Sean Kemp, and there's more to this story, by the way, but this is what he asked Sean Kemp on the air.
So, is this an urban legend? You got your first practice through a radio dunk contest?
I did, bro. Is that crazy or what, man?
Radio dunk
contest. Man, I'm gonna keep this 100 with y'all.
Yeah, got to. What you mean?
Now, I'm in college at Trinity Valley, and we ain't but two damn restaurants there. It's the Dairy Queen and the McDonald's.
Athens, Texas.
That's your choice of restaurants you go out to, bro. And Eastern Texas. And they came on the radio and they was like this. They said, hey, there's a dunk contest next Friday night. And the winner of the dunk contest gets to practice with the Mavericks all weekend. Yes.
Oh, you
they said three practices. If you win the dunk contest.
So here's what's so crazy. That's where it started. I'm on there at K104, and I tell K104 we need to have a dunk contest because I had been in Chicago a couple of months earlier where Michael Jordan did the incredible dunk contest against Dominique Wilkins, and everybody wanted to see a dunk contest. Nowadays, it's kind of lame, but back then, it was like unique and different, and Michael Jordan turned it out. So we had this dunk contest for all comers. Now sit on the radio, Reunion Arena, be there at this certain time, and we'll take the top dunkers, and they'll get to dunk at halftime of a Maverick game. Sean Kemp shows up, and nobody knows who Sean Kemp is, because guess why? He never played 1 minute of college ball, junior college ball. He played high school ball, but not in Texas. He tells me, later, after he makes, I was like, what? And he makes it to the, you know, to the final round. And I tell all the media guys, I said, there's this kid. His name is Sean Kemp. He goes to Trinity Valley, but he never played there because he just transferred there. And I said, you don't want to miss this. I'm telling you, he can dunk with Dominique and Michael Jordan. And I told him, don't miss this. So, of course, he wins the contest. And then this is what happens.
Man, we was down there at the Dallas Arena. Man, it was probably 60 contestants, man. And I won the dunk contest that night. And I got a chance to practice with the Mavericks. Now, I get to the Mavericks practice, and guess who's on the damn team? Mm. My teammates. Mm. Detlef Schrempf. Mm. Sam Perkins. They on the team.
Uh-huh.
And I come in and I get to get a chance to practice with them.
What was that like?
What? I wear their ass out of there.
And he could. He was that good. So he wins the dunk contest and he gets to practice with them, but it gets even deeper than that. Now, what does it have to do with me? To this day, Sean always says, I discovered him. And he kind of told that story on there. I'm going to tell you a little bit more.
If you don't, there's a guy that works for the Mavericks, man. Light-skinned guy, Chris. His name is Chris something, man. I can't think of Chris's last name. He still works for the Mavericks, I believe. Their TV guy.
We'll find him.
He was on the radio. They sent me to the locker room. He actually came in the locker room, and this is where it kind of started. This is the night it started at. You know, because junior college, you hungry.
Yeah.
You ain't shit popping off. You ain't in Kentucky no more.
Chris Arnold.
So Chris Arnold comes back in the locker room and he was like, hey, well, you. What? He's like, you ain't got no agent. And I was like, man, he was like, that. Let me be your agent. You go go hard tomorrow. And then I was like, man, I think I'm ready. I didn't know if I was ready then, but by the time I got back to Trinity Valley, I knew my ass was ready because he had just told me that. And that's when I started making these inquiring phone calls, man.
I'm telling you, this is exactly what happened. The only thing that's a little different is I didn't say, I need to be your agent or I should. I said, if I were your agent, this is what we would do. Because I was telling him, you are better than you think. You really are really, really, really good. So here's where it gets kind of crazy. So he does his dunk contest at halftime of Mavericks game in May. In June, they have the draft. Mavericks headquarters, that's where I'm doing the Mavericks draft coverage and all that for K104. And we're just watching it on TV, and then we're waiting for the Mavericks to do their picks. The announcer said, and with the umpteenth round and the first round, Sean Kemp goes to the Sonics. Who's this Sean Kemp? Oh, I almost spit up. Sean Kemp! That's my guy! Everybody's like, what? I said, he never played. How did the NBA find him? He never played. So when he says, I came to the locker room, I circled the calendar. I said, as soon as the Mavericks play the Sonics, I got to find him and ask him, how the hell you wind up in the NBA and you never played? It wasn't like, you know, straight out of high school where he was named somebody straight out of high school, went to college. It wasn't like that. He just came out of nowhere. I went and I said, Sean, how in the world do you wind up getting drafted by the Sonics? He said, man, it's been the craziest few months. He said, after the dunk contest, I got a hold of Magic Johnson. I said, how do you even know Magic? He said, I was Mr. Indiana in basketball, and I got a scholarship to Kentucky. I go to Kentucky, and before the season even starts, somebody steals the coach's son's necklace. And so I wasn't going to snitch. It was somebody on the team, but I was going to snitch. And they were like, well, we're going to hold you out. We're going to let you play until you tell us who did it. He said, F that. So he transferred to Trinity Valley Junior College in Athens, Texas. Nobody saw him. I said, well, how you meet Magic? He said, Magic heard about me. He knew about me. He said, come out here to L.A. in the summer league, and Lakers, we're going to get you. And he said, the Lakers are going to draft me? He goes, oh, yeah, we will spend a pick on you. He said, so he's turning it out in the summer league in L.A. Well, the Sonics have a scout, and the son of the owner of the Sonics said, hey, come down here to L.A. There's a kid. We got to look at this guy, too. And he said, so he told me the Sonics stole him from the Lakers. So I said, okay. And he said, I said, this is what you got to do now, Sean, now that you're in the NBA. Because, see, he still wasn't, like, really, really confident. I mean, He's a great player, nicest guy in the world. I said, Sean, when you play games on the East Coast, if the game is in hand, you got to do some dunks, man, in the game. I'm talking about just show out because you can do it. And I don't embarrass anybody, but you know, especially if you're in New York, I said, or Boston or Washington, that East Coast media thing is for real. Meanwhile, I know the vice president of communications for the NBA. His name is Brian McIntyre. I'll tell McIntyre when they're looking for the All-Star stuff, keep, because they're looking for rookies and stuff. I said, keep an eye on Sean Kemp. And I kept telling, and all the writers that came through, Stephen A. Smith coming down to Dallas, or wherever I was, Stephen A., Michael Wilbon, I was like, there's a guy named Sean Kemp. Watch out for Sean Kemp with Seattle. Because I knew Seattle, Washington, they weren't paying attention to those games late at night, not the East Coast media. So by the time it got close to the All-Star game, Mavericks had another game against the Sonics. He comes into town. He said, Chris, you won't believe this. They've invited me to the All-Star game. He did not win the All-Star slam dunk because he's like 6'7". And even though he's very impressive dunker, just look on YouTube, Sean Kemp highlight reel in-game. He's amazing. Just jumping out there and dunking on the, I mean, he's like, he's so tall and he made it look too easy. And I think they gave the ball, I think they gave the championship to D. Brown that year because he did the close his eye and all that kind of thing. But anyway, so the relationship between me and Sean Kemp is real, is legit. Last time I saw him, when Dirk retired, Dirk said he had done this interview that nobody knew what it was going to be. And he did not know the Mavericks were going to do a salute for him. So after the game, he had mentioned his heroes were Larry Bird, Charles Barkley, Detlef Schrempf, Michael Jordan. Jordan couldn't make it because same night Dwayne Wade was retiring. And Jordan said, I'm not going to choose one guy over the other because he'd be mad at me. So he didn't do anybody's ceremony. And he said, and Sean Kemp. So I talked to Sean that night, and we were all telling those stories back there in that little private room back there where Cuban's little apartment is underneath the building. Me, Larry Bird, Sean Kemp, Detlef Schrempf, and Scottie Pippen, and Barkley. We're just talking about Kemp was like, and Chris is the one, man. He's the one that told me to do this. And I don't take credit. I just said, man, I'm just glad you did it. That's the CA Stories Confidential.
Another Hall of Fame edition in the books. That's one of my all-time favorites right there, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we go out to the D&M Leasing Hotline and welcome in our buddy from DallasCowboys.com. It is Kyle Yeomans. We'll talk to him next here on The Fan.